holding right here.
Does anybody know what this is? Emily, not you. Seeds. I'm holding in my hands pumpkin seeds. To the casual observer, these are just tiny seeds. Tiny, tasty seeds. Seemingly insignificant. But inside this jar lies seeds that has a potential for something magnificent. This little seed right here, well, seeds in this case, has the potential to produce 3 to 5 pumpkins, each seed. When you put them together, they form a whole pumpkin patch. Somewhere. There's a pumpkin patch there. This pumpkin patch, you have a picture of the pumpkin patch? This pumpkin patch will produce hundreds of pumpkins, maybe more, depending on how many, I don't know. What is there, like 500 seeds in here? So maybe thousands of pumpkins, offering many things for us to enjoy. So, I mean, this is the season, right? Pumpkin spice lattes, you know, pumpkin spice whatever, pumpkin spice candles. They'll offer pumpkin patch pictures with the baby, pumpkin carvings, and my favorite, some of you may know it, pumpkin chunkin'. Andy knows that. Yep, Andy knows it. Pumpkin chunkin', that's where they get pumpkins and they're launched in the air via catapults or cannons. That's my favorite. If you haven't seen a video, I encourage you to watch it. It's pretty cool. But these little seeds right here have some extreme potential, right? The pumpkin seed doesn't look like much on the outside. It's small, green, and it can be easily overlooked. But if planted in the right environment and given time to water, given sunlight, the seed becomes something far greater than it appears. This little seed will eventually become something like that and used for many, many different things. In the same way, God has placed inside each of us seeds of potential, gifts, talents, and callings that at first glance may seem small or hidden. But when we recognize and nurture what God has placed within us, that potential can grow and flourish into something that blesses others, blesses you, and blesses others to glorify God. Just as these pumpkin seeds are destined to become this mighty pumpkin patch, so too are we called to grow into that, what God has destined us to become. So I'm going to give you one more illustration, and then we'll get into the core of the message. Does anybody know the illustration of the fleas in the jar? Nobody? Oh, that's good. Some of you. Okay, the fleas in the jar. If you put fleas in a jar, well, first of all, fleas can jump 36 inches, 3 feet. That's like up to here. These little tiny things can jump like up to my hip. It's crazy. But if you put them in a jar with a lid, they'll continue to jump and hit that lid. They've reached their maximum potential. But they continue to jump, they hit the lid. They continue to jump, they hit the lid. They continue to jump, they hit the lid. What happens when you take off the lid? They stop at the height of the lid. They stop at the height of the lid. So fleas know what, you know, their maximum potential is, and they don't know how to achieve that after that obstacle has been removed. The other thing interesting about the fleas is that their offspring will mimic their parents and will only jump to the height of the lid when there's no lid in place. They've reached their maximum potential. So that's my other illustration for potential. So let's get into the message. The title of the message today is Kingdom Potential. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, God, for the opportunity to share your word today. And I thank you that this is of you, Father. This is what you want, Lord. So I'm just here as a vessel to deliver your message, God. And that's all I'm here for, Father. Let this word soak into each person's ears and eyes and hearts, everything, God. Let it just dwell within them, Father. We praise you, God. We give you all the glory. In your name we pray. Amen. Ephesians 2:10, one of my favorite scriptures. In fact, it's on the back of my work trucks. It says, we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he's planned for us long ago. Now, I know you guys know that scripture. I know you've heard that scripture. Masterpiece. We are his workmanship. They use different words, different translations. And we tend to focus somewhat on that beginning part of that scripture. But I want to focus today on the latter part of that scripture. But today, it says, in Christ Jesus, God made us to do what? Good works. God made us to do good works, which God planned when? In advance or long ago for us to live our lives doing. He made us to do good works, and he planned it way in advance. That's potential. God has given you all the potential that you will ever need before you were even created, before you were even born. That's potential. I want to define potential. The dictionary, Merriam-Webster, defines potential as existing in possibility, capable of development into actuality. ChatGPT defines potential as the biblical definition is God's intended person and capacity for growth, development, and fulfillment in the life of an individual created in God's image and empowered by his spirit. That was ChatGPT. It also says that potential is the capacity God has placed within each person to grow, fulfill their purpose, and reflect his glory through their unique gifts and circumstances. It is both a responsibility and a journey of faith. As we trust God to help us grow into all that he has created us to be, recognizing our potential means acknowledging that God has a plan for your life and that he has equipped you with everything you need to achieve it through his strength and guidance. Potential. Potential. So what is potential? Potential is dormant ability. It's untapped power. Potential is hidden strength. It's reserved energy. Potential is unused success or leashed talent. Potential is all you can do that you have not done yet. Say that one again. Potential is all that you can do that you have not done yet. Potential is all that you can become that you haven't become yet. And potential is who you really are, but no one knows it yet. I say that one again. Potential is who you really are, but no one knows it yet. The key truth here is that our potential is given to us by God. All right, we talked a little bit about it earlier. Ephesians 2:10 again says, God made us what we are. And this is the New Century Version translation. God made us what we are in Christ Jesus. God made us to do good works, which God planned in advance for us to live our lives doing. You guys understand that? He planned everything for you in advance. Okay, this, all of that potential that you have is already what God wants you to achieve. This is what he wants for you in your life. Now, the beautiful part about that is that if he's already planned it, then you're capable of it. Right? Because he's not going to do anything that you can't do. If he's planned it, you are capable of achieving that potential. And as I look around this room, I see a whole lot of potential. I see a whole lot of untapped potential. And I'm not saying you guys aren't working towards your potential, and we'll get more into that. But I want you to think about your potential as we're going through this message. Think about what God has for you. You need to realize your potential. God has given us the freedom to choose how we use our potential. We can use our potential for the good, or we can use our potential for the bad. He's given us the freedom to choose. While we are created with gifts and abilities meant for good, we also have the capacity to misuse those gifts for selfish or harmful purposes. Deuteronomy 30, verses 15 through 19 says this, "Look, today I offer you life and success, death and destruction, life, life, success, death, destruction, two polar opposites. I command you today to love the Lord, your God, to do what he wants you to do, and to keep his commands, his rules, and his laws. Then you will live and grow in number, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to take as your own. Well, that's what I want, right? But then he goes on to say, but if you turn away from the Lord and do not obey him, if you are led to bow and serve other gods, I will tell you today that you will surely be destroyed. And you will not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan River to enter and take as your own. Life, death. He gives us the power to choose which way we want to go. You can turn your potential into something negative. As we see in the Bible, the fall of Lucifer. Ezekiel 28:15-17 says, you were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God, and I expelled you, guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. Lucifer's potential for greatness was twisted by pride and ambition, leading to his fall and to the introduction of evil into the world. Lucifer had great potential. He chose to use it the wrong way. Parable of the talents. You guys know this one. Three servants were entrusted with a certain amount of money while their master was gone, and one buried the money and received no return. So I'm going to just read that little section. Matthew 25:26-27 says, his master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money in deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. This servant had the potential to multiply the money that was given to him, that was entrusted to him. But instead, out of fear of losing it all, he did absolutely nothing with it. He buried it in the ground and did nothing with it. He had potential to do what the other two servants did and make a return on their money. They did good with their potential. He did not, and he lost it all. Now let's go to some worldly examples. Adolf Hitler. Potential. Adolf Hitler was a charismatic leader with exceptional speaking skills and the ability to rally people behind a cause. He had the potential to lead Germany out of the economic hardships of the post-World War I era. Negative outcome. Instead of using his influence for good, Hitler exploited his leadership abilities to spread a destructive ideology based on the racial superiority, anti-Semitism, and extreme nationalism. You guys know exactly what happened after that. He chose to use his potential in a negative manner, and they ended up killing millions and millions of people. For those of you who are, let's see, the young people aren't going to know this one. I don't think. Let's see. For those of you who are my age and older, Enron. You guys remember Enron? Okay, the Enron scandal, potential. Enron Corporation was one of the most innovative energy companies in the world and had the potential to revolutionize the energy industry through the new business practices and models. Not many people know that about Enron, but they were going to revolutionize the industry. Negative outcome, Enron's leadership was driven by greed and a desire for short-term profits, engaged in widespread fraud and deception, and the company downfall in 2001 led to thousands of employees losing their jobs and savings, while shareholders lost billions of dollars. They had the potential to do something great, but they let their greed get to them, and they chose to do negative with it. So you also have the potential, and this is what we need to focus on, to have your potential can have a positive impact. An earthly example, Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein was a brilliant physicist whose potential for scientific discovery transformed how we understand the universe. He developed a theory of relativity, which changed physics. His discoveries, particularly, E=mc², do you guys know E=mc²? Good. You know what it means? I don't. we all know it. His discoveries helped unlock the potential of the atomic bomb. While nuclear energy had both positive and negative applications, Einstein's scientific contributions led to advancements in energy production, medicine, radiation treatments, and technology. So he had potential. He chose to do good with it. How about Mother Teresa? We got a photo of her. Mother Teresa recognized the deep suffering of the poor, the sick, the marginalized, particularly in India, Calcutta, India. She devoted her life to serving these people, these individuals, through acts of kindness, compassion, and service. She founded Missionaries of Charity, which provided care for those who were dying, suffering from leprosy, AIDS, and extreme poverty. Her order grew and spread to over 130 countries, providing relief to millions of people. She had positive potential. She had potential. She chose to use it for the good. Now, some biblical examples. Joseph, he was sold into slavery by his brothers and later became the second in command in all of Egypt. Moses, he led the Israelites out of slavery. David, how about David? He was a little shepherd boy who fought and killed Goliath and later became king of Israel. They all had potential. They all chose to use it to advance the kingdom of God. God has given us the freedom to choose how we use our potential. If we choose to be driven by greed or fear or hate, then the outcome will be devastating. Whereas if we choose to use our potential to further the kingdom, then the results will far exceed any of your expectations. And I can guarantee that. If you choose to use your potential for the good of the kingdom, then all of your expectations will be met and exceeded. Because that's the God that we serve. Good God. He wants the absolute best for you. He wants the absolute best for your neighbor. He wants you to realize your potential. Now, we can sit here all day long and talk about the potential that we have. We can say, you know, one day, I don't know, one day we're going to be a big church that's going to glorify God. We're going to have our own space and do all these things. Or maybe personally, you can say you're going to be a millionaire and you're going to be giving to the kingdom of God. We can sit here and talk about that all day long. That doesn't mean anything. Talking doesn't do anything. It's words in the air. Doesn't do anything. You have to actualize your God-given potential. We need to actualize. I'll say it again. You need to actualize your potential. To actualize means to make something real or to bring something into existence. It refers to the process of turning potential plans, ideas, or possibilities into reality or action. You have to actualize your potential. Many of you sitting here right now have seen the potential that the Lord has given you. A lot of you know, maybe via words of knowledge, maybe via dreams, whatever it may be, maybe the Holy Spirit has spoken to you and he's told you that this is what you're going to be doing. Or this is what I want you to be doing. This is where I want you. Show of hands. I'm curious. Does anybody, if you're okay with raising your hands, has anybody received anything like that? That's good. So a lot of you here have actually received from the Lord and know exactly what you need to be doing. And I don't know if you're doing it or not. But if you're not, it's time to actualize that. Now, if you haven't received from the Lord, if you haven't heard from the Lord, if nobody's told you anything, I guarantee you that potential is still in you. Seek the Lord. He's given us all of the potential that we need in our lives. He's given it all to us. Seek the Lord and he will reveal it to you. That'll show him that you want it. It's a good start. Many of you know exactly what you need to be doing for the kingdom, but because of deception in the form of fear, you know, maybe you're afraid of failure, maybe you're afraid of success, or maybe you're afraid of what other people are going to say, or doubt. Maybe people in your life have said, no, you can't do that. You're not worthy. You're not smart enough. You don't have enough money. You don't know the word of God. Maybe doubt. Maybe past failures. Maybe you've tried something in the past and it didn't go well, and you're afraid to start something new. Maybe relationships. This could be a little hard for some people. Maybe relationships are holding you back from experiencing your potential. You know, what is my spouse going to think of me? What are my brothers going to think of me? What is my neighbor going to think of me? What is my dog going to think of me? Doesn't matter. Relationships. Peer pressure. Maybe you have, same thing. Maybe you have people just in your ear saying, no, you can't do this. I want you to come and do this with me. I want you to walk beside me and teach here or there, but you know the Lord wants you to do something else. Maybe it's the peer pressure pulling you to one side and the Lord's trying to take you to another. Maybe it's your health. Maybe you feel that you can't do something because you're not physically capable of doing it. How about this? Maybe it's sin. Maybe the sin in your life is holding you back from experiencing, from actualizing your potential. Maybe that sin is too good. I'm sorry to be real. Maybe you just really like that sin. Whatever it may be. Maybe that's holding you back from experiencing your potential. And you're frozen because of those things. Maybe there's many other things. I'm sure you guys can think of something. I'm sure some of you here already know exactly what it is. But whatever it may be, it's keeping you from moving forward. It's keeping you from taking that step to actualize your potential. Some of you here have big dreams, big plans, and you know how to get there. You know what you need to do. But because of one of these things, you're just not doing it. Ask yourself, what is it? Why can I not make that leap? You know, when I started I own a landscape company. When I started my company, I was I 18? 18 or 19 years old. And I had to make that leap. I had to buy all the equipment that I needed. I had to let go of my other job, which at the time was working with my uncle, and we worked something out. But I had to let go of something in order to make something else happen. Okay? I realized what it was that was holding me back at that time. And now I'm at where I'm at. I have a successful landscape company. But not only that, because of what I did, I'm here right now giving you guys the word. Because I know that if I wouldn't have ever made that leap, I would have been stuck in a position that doesn't allow me to have the time, to share the word of God with others. But I let the Lord direct my footsteps, and he did what he had to do. So if that's you today, somebody here today is having trouble making that leap, I encourage you to go for it, because you'll never know until you try. You'll never know until you try. Sorry, that was a little side note there. But how do you break these barriers that are keeping you from actualizing your potential? How do you break these barriers? Simply, you need to have a relationship with the Lord. Don't be deceived. Do not be deceived. Matthew 7:15 says, "Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves." Beware of all those people out there that are telling you that you can't do it, that are telling you that you're not worthy, telling you that you're not educated. Romans 12:2 says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect." Stop following what this world is doing. You have to break complacency. If you guys know me, I love talking about complacency, because I think all of us fall into complacency at some point in our lives where we are just comfortable with what is going on. We are just sitting here. We're comfortable with our lives. You know, things are well. We're healthy. We're financially fit. We're going to church once a week, maybe twice, getting the word of God. We're okay. That's complacency. when you don't want to grow. That's complacency. Don't copy the rest of this world, because the rest of this world is complacent. They're either deceiving you or they are complacent. They're okay with the way everything is going. Or they want you to believe that that is the way that everything should be going. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. Guys, you are simply in this world. Your Bible says you are passing through. You are sojourners in this journey. You are members of the kingdom of God. You belong to Jesus Christ. You belong to God. You don't belong to this world. So if it's the world holding you back, if it's, another thing I'm big on is media. If it's media that is speaking to you and telling you that you need this, you need that, or you can't do this, you can't do that, don't let that influence you. Listen to the Word of God. Listen to the Holy Spirit. James 1, 14 through 16 says, temptation comes from our desires, from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Temptations. Sin. Maybe it's the sin that's holding you back from experiencing your potential. Guys, fight the temptation. The enemy is always going to try to tempt you to do something that he wants you to do, but you have to be stronger than the enemy. And the Bible says we are stronger than the enemy because we are sons of the Most High. You are stronger than the enemy. Fight the temptation to overcome the enemy. If you ever get tempted to do something that you know, well, it's a temptation, you know it's wrong. If it's a temptation, it's wrong. If you ever get tempted, begin to talk to the Holy Spirit. Begin to talk to God. Say, Lord, deliver me from this temptation. Lord, I don't want this. As much as this temptation may feel good, I don't want to do this right now because I know it's going to drive a wedge between me and you. I know it's going to keep me further from experiencing all that you have for me, all of my potential. Lord, I don't need this. The enemy doesn't like it when you speak the name of God. So don't be afraid to use the name of God. The greatest enemy of potential is deception. If the enemy succeeds in convincing that you cannot do it, then you will not be able to do it. Do not let the enemy succeed in telling you that you can't. Because the enemy is completely powerless. He tries to manipulate you and tries to get you to believe these things. Don't let him do that. You know the Word of God. Deception will keep you from fulfilling your purpose, and you will stay stuck in the same place and will not be able to move forward with your life. I don't know if that's somebody in here today. You feel stuck. You're in the same place. You haven't grown from maybe a year ago or 2 years ago. You haven't done much with your life. And I'm not trying to condemn anybody. I'm just being led. But if that's you, do not believe the lies of the enemy. It's time to move forward. It's time to get up and go. You guys have so much. All of you have so much potential. Untapped potential. Can you imagine if everybody in this room were to actually actualize their potential, where we would be as followers of Christ? Where this world would be as lovers of God? I think we would be the fastest growing religion in the world. If you don't know that, Islam is. That tells you something. I think if you actually actualize your potential and started to move with it, we wouldn't be in the position that we're at right now, at least here in the U.S. Think about it, man. The things that are being taught in schools now, in public schools, the things that are being said on media, the things that you see all over TV, which 10 years ago you would never see. And I'm not going to name any of these things because I know you all know exactly what I'm talking about. But none of those things would be as loud as they are today because our voice would be louder than theirs. But we as Christians, we're so quiet because we haven't actualized our potential. And we let the enemy, who has a small population of people but such a loud voice, we let them take advantage of us. We have to rise up as Christians. We have to actualize our potential if we want to see change in this world. You know, we're called to make disciples of all the nations. Do you guys, like, think about what that actually means? It goes a little further than just speaking to somebody about Jesus. We're called to make disciples. What is a disciple? What did Jesus do with his people? He trained them. He spent time with them. We're called to make disciples. See, if we, that's potential. Actually going out there and doing what we're called to do. If he calls us to make disciples, that's our potential. That's one of our potentials. Go out there and make disciples. We are not called to sit on a seat and do nothing. We're not called simply to go to church on a Sunday or a Wednesday and do nothing. Receive the word of God. It's a great place to be fed. It's a great place to be with like-minded believers. But you're more than that. You're more than just a person occupying a seat. Your potential is far greater than that. Understand that it is through God's power and not your own. A lot of times we try to do everything on our own power. I've been there and I've failed so many times. You've got to give it to God. It's through his power. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 29 says, "Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. He chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God." Jesus did not wait for the disciples to become leaders. When Jesus chose his disciples, what were they doing? Were they reaching their fullest potential? Jesus didn't wait for the disciples to become leaders before he chose them. He knew they had potential. He was more interested to see whether they would have the faith to follow him. The rest was up to them to activate or to actualize and release their potential. God does not call you on the basis of your ability, what you can do, but on what your potential is. I'm sorry. God does not call you on what you are doing, but what you can do. Jesus did not know the disciples, but yet he appointed them. They were not educated and could probably, you know, maybe even not read or write, but he knew that each one had the potential to succeed. And he sees the same exact thing in each and every one of you. All of you have the potential to succeed. He's not calling you now based on what you've done or what you're doing. He's calling you based on what you can do for the kingdom of God. You actualize your potential by not allowing yourself to be deceived and by understanding that it is through God's power, not your own. Don't be deceived and know that it is through God. You can't do it on your own, but know that it is through God. In order to make this happen, you have to know God. We can sit here all day long and talk about all this stuff and trying to make this happen, but if you have no relationship with God, then none of this will happen. If you have no relationship with God, how are you going to know the potential that he has for you? You have to have relationship with the Lord, because if you don't, you have relationship with everything else that is not of the Lord. And those things will be guiding you. So you choose relationship with God, relationship with this world. What do you want guiding you? I'm going to give you a story about an incredible person. And we'll actually end with this story. This is a story of Nick Vujicic. Right, Joey? You guys know him. Some of you know him. Nick Vujicic. I don't know how to pronounce that last name, but I've known about him for a really long time. Nick was born without arms and legs due to a rare condition called tetraamelia syndrome. Growing up, he struggled with loneliness, bullying, and depression. He questioned how his life could have any purpose or potential. He even considered one time taking his own life, feeling that his limitations were too great. But everything changed when Nick discovered faith in Jesus Christ, and he realized that his worth and potential were not defined by his physical body, but by his identity in God. Instead of focusing on what he couldn't do, Nick began to focus on how he could use his unique story to inspire others. He learned to live independently, even without limbs. He can, without limbs, he can swim. We have him surfing. And if you guys know who that is? Bethany Hamilton, another story of tremendous potential. He can swim, he can surf, and he can play sports. But most importantly, he found his true calling as a motivational speaker and evangelist. Nick's traveled to over 70 countries, speaking to millions about faith, hope, and overcoming challenges. His message is quite simple. With God, nothing is impossible. Very simple. With God, nothing is impossible. Through his ministry, Life Without Limbs, Nick encourages others to see that their value and potential come from God, not from what the world sees as limitations. Despite what might seem like impossible circumstances, Nick's life has become a testimony of how God can use anyone. If God can use him, God can use you. Not saying, not minimalizing him, not making him lesser, but I'm saying if God can use him, God can use you. His life has become a testimony of God can use anyone, regardless of their physical condition, to impact the world. Nick today continues to inspire people to believe that they too have incredible God-given potential, no matter their circumstances. You see, Nick, took him a little bit, but he realized his God-given potential. Now, the guy is talked about all over the world. I mention him at least twice a year in Firehouse because this guy is absolutely incredible. He realized his God-given potential. And he's working towards achieving, he's working towards actualizing that potential every day of his life. Is there a picture of his family there? Look at this guy. Sorry, that was just heartwarming. Nick actualized his God-given potential. He could have very easily taken his own life. He was almost there. He could have very easily just sat and did absolutely nothing with his life. But he chose to do something. Because, like I always say, if you're living and breathing, if you're breathing the oxygen, if you're who's breathing here right now? I got two people that raised their hand. I'm really concerned. Who's breathing in this place right now? If you're breathing, you have potential. If you're breathing, God has a purpose for you. If you're breathing, he's not done with you. Doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what condition you're in. Doesn't matter how much money you have. Doesn't matter what failures you've had in your life. None of that matters. See, the fact is, you're here, you're alive, you're breathing, you have oxygen flowing through your lungs right now. That means there's still a purpose in your life. That means there's still potential in your life. You get to choose how you want to use that potential. You get to choose whether you want to advance the kingdom of God, whether you want to use your potential to glorify the kingdom of God, or whether you want to use your potential for this world and let it be wasted. You get to choose that. But I hope that everybody here today, I would only assume that everybody here wants to use that potential for the kingdom of God, right? If you want to use that potential for the kingdom of God, raise your hand. Everybody here wants to use that potential to advance the kingdom. Let me tell you something, guys. You, this word's just coming to me, but you are worthy. I feel like some of you have been told some things in the past that brought you maybe shame, or maybe just spoke that you are not, you know, things that you're not worthy. No, you are worthy. You're living and breathing. You are worthy of whatever it is that the Lord has for you. You're worthy to actualize your potential. He is not done with you yet. In fact, I can probably say he's barely even started. I ask you today, are you going to be like the flea who has that cap right there and who can only reach that cap even after taking off the lid? Are you going to be like the flea and only reach that potential? Or are you going to be like the seed, this pumpkin seed, and grow into like a really large pumpkin patch? You choose how you want to interpret that. Are you going to be like the flea, or are you going to be like the seed? You choose. Let's all stand up to our feet.